Well, take your Bible, let's go to Exodus chapter 12, and while you're finding that, Cliff and Martha Fulford, are you up there in the balcony somewhere? Yeah, stand up for me, would you? Wave at me. I saw Cliff early today and his wife. They've married 50 years this week, and praise the Lord for that. Yeah, congratulations to you. I had a bunch of stuff on my list, and I forgot you a while ago, and so I was supposed to say that today, and we love you. Old Cliff down there at that door, you was there before you got married, wasn't you? Been there 50-something years down at that door helping us. Hey, love you guys, amen. Congratulations. Thanks for helping us and encouraging us to do it right. I encourage you to be found faithful if you're married, and you'll have that golden day as well. Well, if you're 13 years of age or older than a man, I want you to rise with me and stand. We're going to read from the Word of God in Exodus chapter 12, and we'll begin in verse 1 and read through verse 13. If you happen to be a guest with us, just know the pastor's in a sermon series on the life of Moses, and we're walking through portions of his life from his beginning at the Nile all the way to his death at Mount Nebo. And so we're coming today where he is in his 80s. We find him going out from the burning bush, going back to Egypt to get his people to take them to the promised land. But there's a little hitch. Pharaoh doesn't want to let him go. And so Moses has to deal with that. Gentlemen, thank you for standing. We're looking for godly men to lead, just like Moses leads. And we'll see some other godly men in this text today. But don't forget our men's kingdom rally coming up. It's a week from this coming Friday, so get your ticket. There's a table out in the foyer. They're $15. You want to hear Travis Fryman. You want to hear my good friend Robert Gatley as he comes to share the Word of God with us. You'll be encouraged and blessed on that Friday night. So don't miss it and be a part. Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 1 and reading through verse 13. Listen now, because this is the word of our great God. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you." God's changing the calendar right here. "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month," that first month, "they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's households, a lamb for each household. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them. According to what each man should eat, you are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month," that is 4 days. "Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel," that is above the door, "of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs, along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left of it until morning you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner: with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord, Yahweh. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." The very word Exodus, the book, the second book in the Bible, where we find much of Moses' life, that word Exodus, to come out, to exit. You see these signs over the doors, the exit signs. If we had a fire in here, there'd be an exodus. We'd get out. We'd go out. That's what God sent Moses to do, to exit the people from bondage. The very exodus is a picture of redemption. The people are in bondage. There is a struggle. Then there comes redemption, and then there is the journey toward the promised land. If you are lost today, you are in bondage of sin. You are struggling with that sin. God has sent a Redeemer. His name is Jesus, and He shed His blood for you, for without the shedding of blood, there's no redemption. And when you are saved, then you enter into a journey, and that journey leads you ultimately to heaven, but the promised land is not heaven. It is the Spirit-filled life while they lived here. The millennium's coming. It's going to tell us about heaven, but Canaan's not heaven. Canaan is the enriched, Holy Ghost-filled, victorious, supernaturally living, above sin kind of life that you should enjoy through the power of the Lord God Himself. It is the Exodus. And Moses and Pharaoh are butting heads. God is at work in every circumstance. Now, don't miss this, and then you men can be seated. Whatever God permits, He has a purpose to promote. Whatever God permits, He has a purpose to promote. You say, preacher, where'd you get that? I was listening two Sunday nights ago when Dr. Robert Smith said those very words in that hour and 17-minute sermon. Whatever God permits, Exodus, struggle, He's got a purpose to promote. I don't know what He's allowing in your life right now, but He's got a purpose, and He's going to promote it. What He allowed, 430 years of bondage, and God had a purpose to promote. Thank you, gentlemen. You be seated. I want to jump right in, and we're going to look at this purpose that God has to put forth and promote as we look at Moses, plagues, Passover, and promises. Moses comes back to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. Moses says, no. Let my people go. No. Let my people go. No. And then he says, well, maybe, after a little while, and then he changed his mind. And Moses can't make Pharaoh can't make a decision. He's jerking around because the plagues are coming. You know those plagues. You've read about them in Scripture. And we see the plagues. This is God's pressure that He puts on Pharaoh and on Egypt and on His own people came part of them. Let's just enumerate what those plagues were to remind you. Moses came. You remember what he did. There was the Nile that was turned to blood. The people could not drink water. After that came frogs. Frogs everywhere. Then came the lice or the gnats. They were the third of the plagues. Then came the flies. Can you imagine flies? Flies everywhere. Moses is bringing that, and God brings it, and Pharaoh says, get out of here. But then he changed his mind, and Moses comes back with plague number five, and that's a disease on the livestock, and animals are dying everywhere. Pharaoh's thinking, maybe, no, he's kind of in between. Then comes the sixth plague, the boils that came on man and animal, those sores that came all over their flesh and on the animals. These were just on the Egyptians. Then came the hail, and the hail was killing livestock and wiping out all of the wheat crop that was there. And after hail came the locusts, and they ate everything that was left. And then came darkness. God caused a darkness. That was the ninth plague. And still Pharaoh would not let the people go. And in chapter 11 of Exodus, if you go back to chapter 11, just one page, you'll see this verse in chapter 11 and verse number 1. Here is what is said. Now the Lord said to Moses, one more plague I will bring on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, He will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out from here, and he will do it completely. Understand, friend, there is a time when God brings devastation that brings pressure to what he wants to see happen. And if you think that can't happen in godless America, you have got another thing coming. God has a way of bringing certain weather patterns where water runs or doesn't run, where certain insects come. I'm telling you now, it only takes one or two cases of Ebola to cause us to run ourselves almost mad. You let that show up in our cities. You don't know what happens when that? I'm telling you, church houses get full. And for a little while, people cry out. It's like a plane running through a New York City high rise. And for a little while, people cry out, but they're just wanting to, they just want relief. They don't want repentance. God has a way of bringing pressure so that we want more than relief. We want repentance. And when Pharaoh finally says, after his own child dies, he says to Moses, go out from here, leave me, and don't forget, bless me as well. He asked Moses to pray for him before he sent him out of the land. God's got a way through the plague to bring pressure. We see that in the life of Moses. He comes, and here are 10 plagues on Egypt. And finally, Pharaoh says, get out of here. Go, go, go. After, in the middle of these plagues, then we find the Passover. While the plagues are God's pressure, the Passover is God's plan. And we've read from chapter 12 here, and you know this story. If you've been in Sunday school 30 minutes, you know the story of the Passover, but you may have missed a few things along the way. I want you to just to think with me about the Passover. Here's what God said to Moses and Aaron. Now, here's what you do. You tell the guys that everybody in their own home, everybody does it. They don't do it collectively. You do it everybody in your own house. And you get a lamb, either from the sheep or the goats. And you take that little lamb and you bring him into your house. And you bring him there in the month of Nisan. It is now the first month. God rearranged the Jewish calendar, and he said, this is going to be the first month of the year. And on the 10th day, you bring that little lamb into your house, and you keep that lamb for 4 days. And at twilight, you're going to kill that lamb. And when you cut his throat, you're going to catch the blood in a basin. I think they did it at the door of their house because they're going to take the hyssop, and they're going to dip it in a bowl, and they're going to put it on the doorpost of the house, and they're going to put it on the lintel above the door. I believe it was also on the step, on the stoop of the house, because it would have been spilled there as they kill that lamb. It's not like you're pouring something out of a vial. I mean, you're killing a live animal. And so the blood is there. He told them when they went in that night, don't go out. You would not step on the blood. You don't deal with it. You just go in the house and you trust God, who has eyes for one thing and eyes for one thing only. He had eyes for the blood. And when he saw the blood, he said, I'm going to pass over you. But when I don't find the blood on the lintel and the doorpost, and I believe on the step of your house, he said, I'm going to kill the firstborn. And he said, I'm going to kill the firstborn from the palace to the slaves' quarters in the shed and everywhere in between. And that night there was great crying throughout Egypt. Just think with me about what this Passover means for us. Number one, it dealt with Nisan. It was the first month. It changed time. Well, when the real Passover came through Christ, it changed time. I have a copy here of the front page of this morning's Pensacola News Journal. They moved today. You know, this is their first day in their new building. And so I brought the front page. It says, cut the mustard. Amen. The paper ought to cut the mustard. That's what they ought to do right here. Pensacola News Journal moves to Palafox, Green Berets, Paracon is in town, and sharks are getting a bad rap on the Sharks news show and front page. Escambia High School with their new battle strategy. But right up here at the front, I circled something. It says Sunday, August 10, 2014. And then I opened the page, and on page 2, it says August 10, 2014. Page 3, same thing. got my buddy Andy Marley's picture there, his ugly mugs on the page. And then you open it, and there's a full ad there from Rooms to Go. And twice it says August 10, 2014, page 5, 2014. It says every page has August 10, 2000. What's that mean? Let me tell you, when Jesus was born, time changed forever. Even the news journal confesses today it's 2014 years since the year of our Lord. They didn't know they said it, but bless God they did this morning. Every time you give the date, you tell, I'm telling you, when Jesus came, it changed everything, even the calendar by which we conduct our lives. Here he said, this will be now the first month of the year. Now, son, this is the first month. Your life is rearranged around Passover. He said, secondly, it's on the 10th. On the 10th day of that month, you find that little lamb, and you bring that lamb in, and you keep him till the 14th. Now, I don't know if you have little children or ever had little children. But now, if you brought a lamb in your house and kept him 4 days, then you announce, we're about to cut his throat. Those kids gonna go crazy. They will never forget. And that's what Passover, it's a memorial for time eternal. Don't ever let those children forget, God's saying, where they were, and I'm gonna bring you out. And that lamb that they love, that precious, spotless lamb is going to be their redemption. You don't ever need to forget what happened to Jesus on the cross, that he died for you. He is our Passover. He said you're to take that lamb on that fourth day, and at twilight, you're to kill that lamb and then take the hyssop and paint the doors. Paint it. Put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. Then he said, get ready to eat the Passover. Take that lamb that you've killed to take the blood, and I want you to roast it. Don't boil it. Take this lamb, an unleavened bread and bitter herbs. The lamb is there as the type of the Lamb of God that is coming to take away the sin of the world. He says, take unleavened bread because you're to get all sin out of your life and eat it with bitter herbs so you don't forget the sinful bondage that you were one day in. And when you take that lamb and you roast it and it's ready and you eat it with that bread and you eat it with those bitter herbs, he then tells them how to eat it. Number one, have your loins girded. Don't be in your PJs. Be ready to go. I mean, be ready to go. Because when redemption comes, it is now. Now. We sometimes lose the urgency of redemption. Let me tell you, redemption is now. You got to be ready to move when God says, not when you say. The Bible tells the New Testament to have your loins girded about with truth. Hebrews says that you're to cast off every weight that easily besets you, and you're to take that robe and gird your loins and have it around you so you can move, man, be ready to go, because redemption comes when you may not even be looking for it. Secondly, he says, have your shoes on. Have your shoes on. I was at dinner last night with a young married couple, and there were two boys walking through the kitchen. They didn't even live there, and they were barefooted. They'd been playing outside, and it'd been raining coming in. Two of these young men, I was standing there, and I said, well, I tell you, I'd just make yourself right at home. Everybody got their shoes off, having dinner, and I funned with them a little bit. You know how you, I don't know what you do. That's one of the first things I do, and I get to my house. I take my shoes off. Now, I don't go to your house and take my shoes off, unless you ask me to at the front door. Some cultures do. But when I go to my house, I'm getting out of my shoes. He said, you eat Passover, you keep your shoes on, because we're going to find in the Word of God in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 4 that the promise was that they walked 40 years in the wilderness. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:4, their shoes didn't wear out, nor did their feet swell, because God saw them in the journey. I tell you, friend, when you get saved, God will walk you where you need to walk, and your shoes won't wear out, and your feet won't swell up, because He will be able for the journey for you. I don't care where you go, how hot the pavement gets, how tough it gets, I'm telling you, God is able to see you through the journey all the way to the fulfillment of the promised land. My Twitter account this morning, I put something down. I preach a sermon all over America. I don't know how many times I've preached it. Scores and scores and scores. I preach it 3 times here at Olive out of Proverbs 14:4, talking about where there is no oxen in the manger's clean, but by the full increase of the ox that you got to clean the manger. And I preach on shoveling manure. That's the title of my sermon. Every church that is growing, you got to shovel manure. If there's nothing going on, fine, but I'm telling you, if you got life coming, then you're going to have a mess in the stall. That's what Proverbs 14:4 says. Matter of fact, in my Bible, the author in here says in the footnote, there is never milk without some manure in the barn. Tell me, that's not what Scripture says, but what the notes say at the Bible. Hey, you're going to have a baby in your house. You're going to have manure, amen? Repeatedly. As I've shared with you over and over, Dr. Criswell used to say that baby is nothing but an ancillary canal with a horn on one end and a dump station on the other. That's what you got. It's just flowing through. But after a while, they grow up and they get up. But you see, anything that's alive and well, there's work to be done. There's growth there. And I'm telling you, if you're going to grow in your Christian life, there are going to be potholes. There's going to be different time when it's hard. And I put on my Twitter account this morning that I've preached that sermon all over America scores and scores and scores of time, but I've never had a week at Olive like I had this week, beginning last Saturday, a week ago yesterday. For the last 8 days, I've never had more manure in one church than I've had this week. And I've grabbed the shovel and my hands have got blisters, and I love doing church work at a place called Olive, even when it calls for shoveling manure of church growth. Amen. Your shoes don't wear out and your feet don't blow up. He said, be ready to go, because there's a journey. See, some of us think we just get saved and come sit right here. I tell you, friend, see, some people are more in love with the building than they're in love with the church. They think all church is coming and sitting for about 60 minutes or 70, and if it gets to 75, they're out of here. They love the building. Let me tell you, friend, the church is not the building. The church is the journey. It's the people of God and all that we do together. That's why he said here, when redemption comes, have your loins girded about you, have your shoes on, and have your staff in your hand. Why? Because there's battles to fight. Psalm 23:4. Thy rod and thy staff do what? Comfort me. He'll see you through the journey. It's a pilgrimage as well as a journey. I want to show you something about this. One other thing here, when you get into this, is I want you to see, thirdly, the promise. The promises of the Passover. This is God's provision for us in the Passover. Let me just share a few things with you about God's promise. First of all, they were to take this in every home, every home. All of those men that stood up. Matter of fact, why don't all you men just stand up again if you're over 13? Let's just, wake him up if he's not awake now. Now, guys, if you would have been in Egypt, and if you had a family under your direction, unless you had a small family that couldn't eat all of a lamb, then you could go with a partner next door, he said. You could bring two families together, but you'd go in that house, and it would be your job as the spiritual leader of your home to kill that lamb and to make sure that the blood was put on the doorpost and the lintel, and you'd get your children and others to help you so that they would see that. Hear me, gentlemen, if we are going to see revival, if we are going to see the church go forth, you must take leadership of the spiritual principles in your home, in your life, in your kids, in your wife, and all that goes on in the body life of your home. You are responsible. You don't have to believe me, but when you get to the Bema seat one day, this sermon is going to come up. And it's time for you to grab hold and begin to lead. Can you imagine that man having to take that lamb? Oh, Daddy, don't do that. Joseph, we must. It's the Lord's. You ever get hard orders to give to your kids? Your kids ever just want to just say, well, Daddy, you know, everybody else is. You ever get that? Well, you know, Daddy, that doesn't make sense to me. But it's in that book. You mean, Daddy, we got to put a priority on that against... See, you know better than they know, because you've already been there. And God's given you wisdom to raise them up. So number one, there was a man in every one of these homes, and they did it individually or they came together with others. Now, your job's to teach your kids. We age grade here. We age grade in school, put them in first, second, third grade, fourth grade, and then sometimes go back and do the fourth grade over, and then we keep on going. But you're responsible. You're the one going to give an account. You must lead. That's what these men did. All right, thank you. You can be seated. Men got to go. Now, secondly, not only have men got to lead, but you got to go public with the blood. You got to go public with the blood. Yeah, you got to put it on the front door. I know a lot of folks that want to get saved if they'll just let me paint the bedroom door with it. I don't want to tell the folks down to the country club, or I don't want to tell the Rotary Bunch, or I don't want to tell the folks in my grade at school. You know, I'll apply the blood, but let's just keep it under wrap. No. Front door, above the door, doorpost, go public. No secret disciples when it comes to redemption. Out front, baptized in front of everybody. Some of you sitting here, you've been saved, never been baptized. Today's your day. God's calling you out to paint the doorpost and the lintel. It's time to go public. 24th day of this month, two Sundays from now, we're going to have a y'all come baptismal day. We're going to baptize in the morning service. He's going to say, come, have the Lord's Supper. And we're going to baptize after that. And in the second service, same thing. That night, going to do the same thing. And we're going to baptize all that day. But some of you need to come get ready this day to do that. Third thing I want you to think, these are just some lessons I draw this. Number three, judgment's real. The Egyptians that did not paint the doorpost with the blood of the lamb died. They died. And I'm telling you, judgment is real and God will mete it out. And if you don't come in obedience and repentance to God, judgment will be real in your life. It's not an easy word, but it's a true word. Judgment's coming. It's appointed unto every man once to die, and following that, the judgment. In this text, the fourth thing I see is that the Passover is the gospel before the gospel. 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul put it out straight. Clean up the old leaven that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened, for Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Jesus is our Passover. He is our Passover. You know, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, that in Luke 22, it was during the Passover. And the Bible says in Luke 22 that when the feast of unleavened bread was over, and it was time for the preparation of the Passover, he told his disciples to go ahead and prepare it so that we can eat the Passover together. And so we did. Let me tell you, friend, while they were killing the lambs in Judaism to fulfill the Old Testament Passover, Jesus was preparing to head to the cross. What John said years ago, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," coming right at Passover. They ate the Passover. They had bitter herbs. They had unleavened bread. They had the lamb. And then Jesus put them together and he said, "Now let me tell you something new." And he took that unleavened bread and he broke it and he passed it around and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Then he took the cup and passed it and he said, "Drink." And they drank and he said, "This is my blood." Why do we not eat the Passover meal today, the Seder, as Christians? Because the supper has been changed, just like the calendar. It is no longer the Passover meal. It is the Lord's Supper that takes emphasis because it is the Christ that we point to. It's not wrong to go to a Seder. It's a good thing. They'll have the boiled egg and the bitter herbs and they'll roast the lamb. You get invited, go, because it'll be a fun time. But you'll miss it if you don't hear Jesus say, "This is my body which was broken. This is the blood shed for you." Another interesting thing I found in there this week, Jesus said, "Drink of this cup with me, because this is the last time. I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom comes." A lot of talk about alcohol today. I can only tell you, Jesus is a teetotaler till the kingdom comes. That's what he said. "I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until I come in my kingdom." You want to be like Jesus? Hello? Then get off the fruit of the vine. "Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. 7 days, eat unleavened bread." He's speaking to the Jews, speaking to Israel, speaking about that Passover. Many of you have got Jewish friends, and they observe that Passover. But they miss the type if they don't get to the cross. Jesus is our Passover, Paul said. You must come, gird up your loins, put on your sandals to walk with Christ, take your staff and say, "Lord, I'm coming to follow you." Well, give my accompanist a hand, wouldn't you? Amen. Tell him he did good today. This is God's invitation time. You're here without Christ, want you to come. You're here without a church, want you to come. You may need to come and kneel in this altar and answer the call of God today. I don't know the need of your heart, but I'm telling you, the blood was shed for you. John's going to begin to sing. And when he sings, in this invitation, these two stanzas, I just want you to step out of that balcony, take you a moment. Come on, you need to go public. You need to get the blood on the doorpost. You need to say, "This is the day. I follow after the Christ who gave his life just for me." Amen. While we sing, you come just now.